true story. Coming down. Hi, Betty. Coming down, I had to stop to the store in Smyrna to get a t-shirt for tonight. And put the t-shirt at the register, and the gentleman proceeded to ask me, was I a senior citizen? Yeah. I said, no, sir. He said, are you sure? Sir, this is the first, okay? I know it was bad, but, you know, God is on the throne. I'm going to pray. Okay. Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We give you honor. We give you glory, Father. Father, I pray that your spirit will fall upon us. I pray that you will speak to your daughters tonight, Father. I pray that their ears will be open to receive what you want to speak into their spirit tonight. Father, we are living in such a serious time, and I know that you are trying to get your daughters prepared even more to do the greater works. And Father, we just honor you, Father, and we just give you full permission to do whatever you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. So how many of you, when you go out and about, you see so many young children that just look lost, right? They look like they have no sense of direction. They're walking in the streets and they're just, you know, just being. There is no purpose in their life, it would appear, because we're living amongst a lost generation. But God has a plan, and he's calling his women forth. Thank you. So tonight I want to talk about women being godly when they are called to the forefront. When you are called to the forefront, you enter into a leading position that is considered to be important, achieving something that is meant to produce a good result. When you are called to the forefront, it means that you have entered into a place of importance or prominence. Prominence is a state or quality of being prominent, conspicuous, or noticeable. In other words, it means something that sticks out. When you are prominent, one may suggest that you are famous, well-known, influential, respected, well thought of. You are honored. Now, many of us don't want to have a famous lifestyle or what have you, but when God puts you out on the forefront, you're going to see your whole life will change. Now, conspicuous is standing out as to be clearly visible. It's obvious, plain, evident, undeniable. When you are called to the forefront, people are going to notice you. You are going to attract attention. The word forefront is considered to be the leading or most important position or place. You're on the front line. I don't know if you all can hear that word important keeps coming up through this the wording here. And important means of great significance or value, having a high rank or status. Now, studying this, the word important has given me a new perspective in being called to the forefront. I don't think that we have fully grasped what it means to be called to the forefront. I think that we have an understanding, but what I see happening is God will speak to us and we will get so excited and we'll, in our mind, we'll say, yeah, I'm gonna tear these devils up, right? God's gonna put me on the front line, and then you break out in warfare and you wonder what is happening here. And you regroup, but you still are trying to figure this thing out. Then you have others that pretty much, when God says, I'm gonna pull you from the background to the forefront, you've been in the background for so long, you're like, me? You know, like, how can I possibly? So in other words, one person is, you know, basically excited, they are exalted, and the other one is like, nah, not me, but you're still focusing in on yourself, so to speak. So it's not really a balance, but God is calling us leaders and he knows what he's doing. So when you lead, you guide or direct in a particular direction. How many times has Pastor Barbara told us we are to lead people to Christ, not to ourselves, but to Christ? The Cambridge Dictionary states being on the front line is an important, here's that word important, position where you have influence, but where you are likely to be criticized or attacked. How many of you know women are on the front line, women who are on the front line are constantly being attacked? Many people say women can't preach. You know, many people say women are supposed to be silent, or people respect men leadership more than women leadership, and it goes on and on. Make no mistake about it, God is not a man that he should lie. When God calls you to the forefront, he means it. He has placed his stamp of approval upon your life, but his desire is for you to go deeper in him as he calls you forth. God wants us to be godly women. You know the phrase, make America great again? God wants to make women godly again. We have lost something because there's a lot going on. I explain that in a few, but God is looking for women who are willing to devote themselves unto the Lord. When you devote yourself to God, you carry an attitude that is pleasing to him. An attitude is a settled way of thinking, your point of view, your frame of mind. Your attitude can also be your posture, the way you carry yourself. Think about this. When God calls you to the forefront, you're going to be very noticeable. As a representation of our Lord and Savior, how are we going to represent the kingdom of God? So many people are calling us a joke because we still carry the face of the world. There is a lot that recently came out in the news that I was super shocked about, and it's pertaining to a lot of senior leaders, women leaders that are doing things that you would have never thought they would be doing at the age that they're doing, getting tattoos, pulling back their books because they privately support the LGBTQ community. They are doing things that are against the perfect will of God. I was talking to my husband and he was telling me that there is a somewhat highly respected preacher that charges $5,000 for prayer. One person. I can't. Yeah. So much other stuff going on. So our women in leadership has fallen away, and God is trying to restore that. He has things that he's trying to accomplish, and he's looking for godly women. People who used to stand for godliness are now twisting the gospel to fit the time, lowering the standard they once set before the world. According to James 1:27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is to keep oneself unstained from the world. We can't be like the world. We are called to be different. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. How many are really grateful for being in the light of Jesus? Isn't it an awesome thing? You feel so protected. I mean, it's just getting so dark. It's beyond. And it's going to get darker, of course, but The world is lost, and this is why you are hearing the word important so much tonight. It is important that we get this right. 2 Corinthians 6:16 through 18 says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. God hasn't changed. His way of living hasn't changed. God desires for us to be godly women. We have entered into a new dispensation of time, and I believe God is trying to restore the mantles that he has placed upon his daughters. This requires us to walk in godliness. Godliness is a term that describes a positive way of life influenced by God and inspired by the Christian faith. Influence means guided, shaped, or governed by God and by faith. Isaiah 64:8 says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father, and we are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Godliness is also influenced by faith. What is faith? Complete trust or confidence in God. Complete is another word for total. Total faith in the Lord, the one who called you, the one who believes in you more than anyone else, the one who holds all power in his hands. We have got to believe that this walk is real, that God is real, and that he is for us and not against us. We have to really hold on to that. Now, Luke 1:37 says, for nothing will be impossible with God. Therefore, let God influence your life in a positive way. When you look up the word positive, it means useful, productive. I never really put two and two together with that, but it makes sense. It also means with no possibility of doubt, clear and definite. You see how a positive way is tied to faith? You see how a positive way means living a useful, productive life? Godliness is the reverent awareness of God's sovereignty and the determination to honor him in all one's conduct. You have to have a deep respect for God. I mean, a deep respect for God. He is the ruler of the universe, and he has the right, power, wisdom, and authority to do anything he wants within his creation. He is not limited by his created beings. God desires to use us, but he doesn't have to. His sovereignty is also relates to his lordship, his covenantal presence, and his kingship. I love how Pastor Barbara recently read that sermon about that's my king. That was beautiful, very powerful. 1 Chronicles 29:11-12 says, yours, O Lord, is the greatest and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. And you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Do you understand what that last sentence is saying? In your hand are power and might, And in your hand, it is to make great and to give strength to all. God is for us. He is our Father. This is the sovereignty of God. Godliness is determination to honor Him in all one's conduct. Conduct is the manner in which a person behaves, their behavior, their actions and deeds, their habits. We have to be determined to honor God in all that we do. If we honor Him, we have to honor His word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." Godliness is devotion and obedience towards God. We have to love God with our whole heart. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Mark 12:30-34 says, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." When we love God in this way, obedience becomes natural. 1 Peter 1:14-16 says, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" As we draw closer to God, while on the forefront, the Holy Spirit can rest and reside within our vessel like never before. And we can be transformed into the vessel of honor that God is calling us to be. Romans 1:1-6 says, "Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in the power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ." That was a mouthful. However, I want you all to understand that Paul was called, he was set apart for the gospel. He understands about obedience, and he understands that it all comes through Jesus. Godliness also includes the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Psalms 111:10. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, Proverbs 8:13. Now, if we carry the fear of the Lord, right, and the fear of the Lord is saying that we should hate evil, we should not carry on in evil ways, right? Like, we should hate the evil that is trying to reside or come against us from the inside, and we need to fight. We need to be able to say, no, I'm not going to do that, and do what you know you're supposed to do. Now, we're going to go to Proverbs 31:10, where it talks about the woman who fears the Lord. And this is basically about, it's an example. I'm pretty sure you all know that this is the Proverbs 31, the good woman, the good wife. Verse 10 says, "An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises from while, she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff. I don't know how to say that. And her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders in the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her husband, of her household, and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. This is what we should, as women, we should be able to go back over and over to Proverbs 30, 31, and get this kind of woman in our spirit, right? A lot of key things that I think we as women struggle with. This basically, if you read it, this really starts in her household. And there's a lot of things. I love you, Christopher, that we go through as women. And I was reading this and I said, oh, that's not good. Yeah, that is not good for me. But thank God for grace. So, you know, first line, excellent wife, you get convicted right off the bat. No, I'm playing, but these things we really do have to get straightened out in behind closed doors, because let's just be real. You are who you are behind closed doors, and that's going to eventually carry over onto the people who you are supposed to be ministering to. So we as women, we've got to love our husbands, honor and respect them. Make them feel like they are the best thing ever. I know Christopher is. Our children, we have to set an example for our children. I love how the scriptures talks about how her children bless her or what have you, you know, and she's constantly doing something. She's providing for the needy. She's making sure that she's a businesswoman. She can, you know, have money to put things to the side and buy a piece of land or whatever the case may be. She has wisdom, all of these things that we really need as women. So I think that it would be worth for you all to go back and, you know, get that in your spirit. So we're going to go forth and we're going to read 2 Peter 1:3-11. It's called Confirm Your Calling and Election. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. I love how this says very great promises. It's not just great promises, it's very great promises. So that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's talk about this. In verse 5, it says, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Virtue is moral excellence, honesty, courage, kindness, self-control. This year was the first time I had to do this because I was struggling with self-control, but I have a little sticky note on my bathroom mirror, bright pink, and it says, be the best you that you can be in 2023. And it says self-control, and then the other one says, is it self-determination? Something like that. And that has really helped me because self-control is a real thing. You can really get yourself messed up without self-control. You can respond in ungodly ways. You can develop habits that are just not okay. You can really become a person that you really don't want to be. And I just think that we need to really get this, at least this part, into our spirit. Self-control, please. Number two, knowledge. Facts, well, knowledge is facts, information, and skills acquired by a person through experience or education. The rhetorical or practical understanding of a subject. Now, when I read this, I felt like this is our testimony and truth in the Word of God. You know, like we sit here as students under Pastor Barbara, and we have the Holy Spirit. So we have information, we have facts, we have the Spirit of the Lord that's given us that truth, right? Out of our personal experiences, as far as our testimony, I think it just all comes together where we can have a knowledge in regards to, you know, what's real, what's not real. And so I think this is very important too. Here again, self-control, the ability to control oneself, in particular one's emotions and desires, or the expression of them in one's behavior, especially in difficult situations. Yeah, our emotions are something else. Number four, steadfastness. God just, you know, recently told me this year, maybe 2 weeks ago, that I needed to be steadfast. And I'm like, yeah, I do, because I get tired, okay? I get tired, burnt out. The enemy's fighting me all the time, and it's just like I just need a break. But I can't, y'all. I can't stop. So steadfastness is to be firmly fixed and not subject to change, to be determined, unwavering. Right. Number five, godliness, the quality of being devoutly religious or piety, devotion and reverence unto God. These are all the things that was read in the scriptures earlier. Number six, brotherly affection. Brotherly affection or brotherly love in the biblical sense is an extension of the natural affection associated with near kin toward the greater community of fellow believers that goes beyond the mere duty in Leviticus 19:18 to love thy neighbor as thyself, and shows itself as unfeigned love from a pure heart that extends an unconditional hand of friendship that loves when not loved back, that gives without getting, and ever looks for what is best in others. Sometimes we fail in this brotherly affection because we're so busy looking at a person's actions, so to speak, or what have you, and we miss who they really are, right? So that pure heart, that unfeigned love needs to be poured out, and it needs to really come from a pure place inside of us. So these six steps are scriptures. According to the scriptures, these are what we should be practicing on a regular basis since we have escaped from our sinful desires. Now, as I was going through this message, the Lord was showing me that he wants to kind of like reinstate his women, right? And I thought about Mary, Jesus's mother. She's a godly woman, right? So I wasn't sure if I was going to put her in my message, but I got a phone call from Andrew at 11 o'clock in the morning while I was at work. And this never happens, right? So I'm looking at his name on my cell phone. I'm like, what is it that he wants, you know? So I answered the phone, and I was like, yes, Andrew. He's like, Mom, what you doing? I said, I'm at work. He said, you know you're not doing no work. And I was like, sir, what is it that you need? And he said, yo, Mom, I like your message. And I'm still dumbfounded behind him calling. I'm like, what is, you know? He was like, I like your message. And I said, what message? What are you talking about? He said, I read the whole thing about godly women and women coming up to the forefront. And I said, thank you, Andrew. Wow. Okay. He said, I'm in your office, sitting in your chair, looking at your message. And I wasn't even done with it, right? And he said, are you going to tell him about Mary? I said, you know what, Andrew? I was thinking about her, but now that you called and confirmed, I'm going to put her in my message. Thank you, prophet, you know? And he said, no problem, Mom, no problem. And he, you know, we talked a little bit more, and then he hangs up, and I'm like, that was the strangest conversation, because he knows I'm at work, and he never, I don't know, Andrew is changing right now. He is super excited. God is touching him. I'm happy for him, but we bought him a Bible for Christmas, and he be carrying that little Bible around all the time. He's trying to preach to us, tell us, you know, when he says the Lord, he does. He calls the Lord the Lord, L-A-R-D. He says the good Lord talks to me. And I'm like, okay, inside joke, I'll say, you know, Andrew, do the dishes. The Lord didn't tell me to do the dishes. So we get a trip out of him. But I'm going to tell you about Mary because he confirmed that I should tell you. So as I was thinking about this message, women being godly as they are being called to the forefront, to me, Mary carrying the Savior of the world, to me, she was absolutely called to the forefront. She didn't ask for it. the angel Gabriel came to her in excitement, and she was afraid. And he said, "Fear not, Mary, the favor of God is upon your life." And God showed me that she had the fear of the Lord upon her, and how many of his children back in the day had the fear of the Lord, which is what we need to return to. But as the angel was speaking to her, he was telling her what she was going to do, or what, giving her instruction and all that was going to happen. And she was like, "How is this going to happen when I've, never been?" And he was like, "Yeah, the Holy Spirit's going to do all this." But the reason that I'm saying this is, you never see Mary, as far as I know, go around saying, "Look at me, I'm carrying the Savior of the world." She never bragged on this beautiful, beautiful assignment that the Lord gave her. As you read about Mary and the adventure that they had with Jesus, a lot of prophets came to her and spoke over Jesus, and she didn't question them. She was quiet, and she listened, and she pondered them, pondered the thoughts and held them close to her heart. And God was just letting me know that this is a true woman of God. When the angel told her about Elizabeth, the angel knew that she was going to go check Elizabeth out. And as soon as she stepped through the door, Elizabeth came and said, greeted her, because the Holy Spirit fell on her, which was confirmation to Mary that she indeed was not losing her mind, that the angel did come to her and say, "Hey, you are going to carry Jesus, who's going to save those from their sin." And so the way that God sets things up is so perfect. He really blessed Mary, and Mary turned and praised him and said, "God, I'm your servant." She didn't go around with an arrogant attitude, and you won't find none of that with Mary. And I think God was trying to tell me that some of his women, get too excited, and they think, that they're going to be doing this and doing that, and their heart is really not right. They turn it into something that should never, ever be. For some reason, they forget that it's about the lost souls. It's turned towards them now. So we have to understand that that's not what this walk is all about. It's not even about who we are to God, so to speak. It's about the lost souls. So when God calls us to the forefront, he's not calling us to get some type of thrill or what have you for our own reputation. He wants us to go forth and say, "Hey, I know the Lord, and I desire for you to know him too." So, women, we have some work to do. God is depending on us, but he's depending on us to go even deeper. My heart goes out to this generation, because they're falling for so many traps, and it's really sad. You really do have men right now who look like women. And this is where a lot of society is going downhill, it's bad. It's bad. And these little kids are out here walking on the streets. They need a covering, because you can tell that they don't have it. So this is something that I believe God really wants to deal with us tonight. He really wants to put it back in our hands to really, really consider being a godly woman. Like, just put everything else down to the side, just let it all go. I think it'll be worth it. I know it will be worth it to see a young child that you brought into the kingdom to go destroy the enemy, for them to go bring other people into the kingdom. Like, if it's just one soul, I think it will be worth it. but we've got to stay close to God. We have to walk in his ways. We have to think like him and act like him. And we just have to get back to holiness. I mean, that's pretty much what it is. We have to get back to holiness. Somebody has to do it, right? Somebody has to do it.